Hello, everybody. Welcome to the OTG Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and with me, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
Doing good here. How are we doing tonight, guys?
Also with me today, we got Cal from CVD MTG. How's it going?
Hey, you doing well. Nice to be here.
So today we're talking standard. I know your YouTube channel, you put out, what, like 5 standard videos a week?
Yeah, so about a year ago, I started my YouTube channel, and about 3 months in, I started going 7 days a week with standard content, and switched up about a month and a half ago, five videos a week now, just so I'm not getting burnt out, but it's been a lot of fun. Standard has kind of gotten a little rough recently, but we do what we can.
How so? Some of the new sets making things interesting?
So I at least try not to play the tier one decks all the time. I put together just kind of weird stuff. I have a bunch of token decks that I'll play. I have a bunch of weird Slogurk piles, you know, cauldron combos, just whatever I can to keep it interesting.
Yeah, so cool. off meta decks, that's your thing, just kind of like Jake Brews, see what you can come up with.
Yeah. I mean, I'll occasionally play the tier one decks when I just have nothing else to play, no ideas to pull out of the tank, but typically I'll go for the jank brews, yeah.
I mean, to be fair, like, it's not always the most fun to, like, always play the deck that is the best deck. Well, because first of all, you're probably going to see mirror matches, and I don't know about you guys, but mirror matches are, like, the worst thing ever. I freaking hate mirror matches, man. And
yeah, they know what you have.
Exactly. There's no surprise. They know what you're playing. Mm-hmm. Like, usually when you play, like, your first couple cards, you're like, oh, well, this is going to be fun. And already, like, you know, there's no mystery or anything, which is half of Magic in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then half the time, they're freaking expensive. That's the other thing.
Oh, yeah. Like,
they're not cheap. I mean, Standard in general is not a cheap format, let's be real, but especially if you want to play, like, the sought-after, you know, decks or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
Shelly's what? $80?
Going on money. Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Is it really up to $80?
Lord, last man. I checked, she might be like 60, 70, but it's just...
Still, like, I opened like 3 of them, and I was like, well, I guess I am good here. Don't need to buy them.
Yeah, you're
good. Yeah. I got one.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's my commander mindset. It's like, oh, I just need one of these things. It's like, oh, no, you need a play set. It's just like, oh, my God, I need to do that 3 more times. Like, yeah.
Not ideal.
No.
Yeah, especially with RCQ season coming up, I'm waiting for Lost Caverns to see if anything shakes up, but most likely going to be going with a cauldron deck, so that's going to be expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what do you think of the new, like, the longer rotation? You don't like it?
No. Fail? No. It's... So... The card quality for the new cards has to be so high to beat out what we're playing currently, because, like, Shelly on 4 is just crazy. Right. Atroxa, mm-hmm. Crazy. Like, the shells that are already established, just, it's hard to beat those out. Like, they've done a good job with some of the new cards designing. One sec. So they've done a decent job with some of the new cards. Some of the gods are pretty powerful, I think. I don't know if they'll see play in standard, but they have really nice effects. Most of the time, you just can't beat an Atroxa, though. Like, Sunfall, Shelly, Atroxa, that's what's going on in standard. It feels a little bit like Pioneer now with the 3-year rotation. Just the power level of stuff, I mean by that. So I guess just like a rotating pioneer, which
right
doesn't make much sense. It's not very attractive monetarily.
Yeah, and I mean, like, realistically, like, it's like I could see the benefit. They're like, oh, well, nobody plays standard. That, like, it's like nobody was playing standard at times, so they want to make more people buy into it because your deck will be legal longer. Mm-hmm. But it's like, okay, but then it's not going to refresh as much. Like, it's going to get boring to the people that play it all the time.
It can definitely get samey, which is not great for sure. Yeah. And especially when they do like those big reprints, and then like, because like we've seen some, you know, major reprints. Yeah, those are going to stick around a lot longer. And yeah, you bet your ass people are going to play them, you know?
Yeah, like Liliana the Veil was back in standard. I'm like, hey, yep. Play that. I can play my Shield Root.
Yeah, the Praetors. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, like, I don't play standard at all. I play limited. But it sounds kind of like the bomb limited cards that you hate playing against that just win the game. You just play four of them, and that's your standard.
Yeah. And then... Yeah, it's kind of gotten to the point where, I mean, if I see some planes and I don't play around a Wandering Emperor, I just kind of expect to lose. So you got to play around the cards you know they have. They have the Emperors. They have the Sunfalls. They probably have at least one Farewell.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the same with any format, though, too, right? Other than, like, Commander, right? It's, like, yeah. You're kind of just, like, knowing the metagame. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, like, Legacy and Modern, it's harder because there's, like, 20 decks, right? But
yeah, but you can still usually figure it out.
Yeah, just, like, knowing what they're probably playing. You know, you're like, oh, what cards could they have? And just the more you know that, the better player you are, because you can play around it.
Yeah, back when I was playing Legacy, like when Miracles was like the thing, if they played blue, it's just like, well, this is going to be a Miracles match. This is going to suck. no, or I was
if it's like turn one forest, that's elves, because nothing else is going to play, just a basic forest.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely some similarities between the different formats. As far as that's concerned. But yeah, the fact that you have the pool for longer like we do now, definitely, I'm sure, has definitely caused some issues, I would imagine.
If bans were like enacted a bit more, then I think the 3-year standard would be a lot more manageable. So like if you just kind of took the knees out from most of the tier one decks, like just a card, Shelly, Atroxa, you know, a couple random things, Sunfall, maybe the format would be shaken up like a significant amount, because just the existence of Sunfall keeps so many mid-range strategies just locked out. Like if you can't kill by turn five, what are you doing?
Yeah, so it's like aggro or control right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, either go for the long game
or controller or random combo. Yeah.
So how much longer are those cards in rotation then? I'm not sure when those came out. I can't remember.
There were what, like 3 sets ago? So basically yeah, 3
it's
years.
It's pretty recent, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Years minus like 6 months.
No, Atrox is going to be here for a while. Yeah. Sunfall, here for a while. It just immediately was in the format and taken over.
That's not surprising at all.
They definitely should. They should kind of do what they do with like Arena Historic, where they like they just ban them temporarily. That'd be interesting if they did that. Where they're like, oh, you know, the most played cards were Sunfall, Shieldred, Atraxa. We're going to ban those for 6 months, so that when there's been a few sets, we can bring them back and see what happens. But
that'd be interesting. It'd be hard to enact, I feel, but...
Yeah, that would be pretty hard to enact, but it would lead to some fun standard, I think.
Yeah, I mean...
At least interesting.
Especially if your top, you know, guns are only, like 4 cards, 5 cards or something like that. It would be interesting to, like, you know, wipe them out for, you know, a moment to see what... See what people can do.
Yeah. See what all the tier 2 decks can do. Those ones are a lot more fun, typically.
Yeah, that's usually what it is.
Anyway. Yeah, tier 1 decks just aren't fun half the time. They're just boring. Mm-mm.
No, I played a 5-color domain for my recording today. It was awful. Like, it didn't feel fun. Like, I played against Golgari mid-range twice in a row, farmed them, and it just was like, bleh.
It's like the joy of playing cancer. Yes.
Yeah, it was rough. Like my Cauldron combo deck, that's like one of the only recent decks in standard that I feel good about playing. And on Arena, it sucks. So I can't wait to play it in paper.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to do full control a ton to make it work on Arena.
So No, it's just clicking, 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 clicking constantly. Okay. You have the cauldron, you put the kami of whispered souls or whatever, shared souls, that taps for mana equal to its power, and then a sleep cursed fairy underneath it. So your creature can tap for mana and then untap itself for two. So as long as its power is three or greater, you net infinite. It's just click, 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 click.
Oh,
click,
yeah. So you have to do that like infinite times, mm-hmm. actually. Yep. Versus being so like, I looped this 10,000 times. Yeah.
Yeah. No, in paper, you just say, I do this a million times. I have a billion of every color mana.
Right.
And then you can just do your stuff. On Arena, people just sit there and make you click. Like,
yeah. They're like, oh, good luck.
Have fun with that. Good luck comboing before you run out of time.
Right.
Yeah. APM deck here. It's like, okay, how high is your DPM or DPI on your mouse there, buddy?
I felt like I was getting carpal tunnel.
Yeah, I believe that. I've definitely done stuff like that before, and this, yeah, that's not a good time.
Dude, no, in editing too, it's rough. You got to speed stuff up, and it's not fun. Yeah, so I had a turn that was like 5 minutes of just clicking, 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 draw, discard, untap, make some mana, draw, discard. Just, I had to speed it up 5 times, and it was still like a 45-second chunk of just brrr.
It's like, this is what it's kind of cool. This. Oh, yeah, I'm sure it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, otherwise, yeah. It's just like, people are just going to watch you just having to click through stuff.
It was the same with the Scoot Swarm, whatever. It would just like almost break the game eventually. Mm-hmm.
People would just there's just so many game actions. Like, it would time your opponent out.
That's funny. It's like, win by default.
For who?
What about this new set? Any cards you think will make it in the cut?
There's a handful. If I can find what I was looking for, my thing refreshed. There is a white card with flash, and it gives +1/+1, or it gets +1/+1 counters based on the creatures that left the battlefield in a turn. It's like a 3/1 cat.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, that one, anti-Sunfall tech, that's perfect.
We were talking about that for, like, Commander on our last, did the review. Yeah,
we were actually literally just talking about that on our last podcast.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, that card is really good if they blow up your board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and the fact that it says leaves the battlefield, so, like, exiling or graveyard, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely what you want.
I'm excited for dinosaurs. I'm looking at the hulking raptor. Mm-hmm. 2GG, 5/3 ward 2. Beginning of your pre-combat main, add green.
Oh,
yeah, yes. He's really good.
Yeah. So good.
There's a lot of really good dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. Green?
There is.
Green, Corey and I like definitely noticed that green in the new set is like scary, man. There's some scary stuff. Like the one that like only costs like 3, but it's like a 6/6 or whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, the Dreadmaw or something.
Like, who the hell cares if it stuns itself? You're getting a 6/6 or 3.
You put a fight rigging down, you're getting a free Breach the Multiverse on turn 4. Turn 3 if you're ramping. There's a turn 1 mana dork.
Yeah.
Like, you can turn that. You can pull that off on turn 3. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
Just untap it like something. So, mm-hmm. Or just play it fast enough that it don't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, ramp goes fast nowadays. Like, we're going to be able to go from 1 to 3 again, which is crazy. Like, you can go turn 1, the 1 drop, into a turn 2 Topiary Stomper, which fetches out another land. So that's like 4 lands on turn 3 plus a 1/1 that taps. Like,
that's pretty dumb. Good.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the blue god that gives all your stuff rebound?
Ooh, rebound.
You think that'll be good enough to play in Standard?
I mean,
I'm trying to think of what blue and red cards you could possibly play that are really good.
What's an is it right now that's like
spent? I mean, I guess you could just try and burn them out.
Is it? That's not played.
It's not played, right? So can we make it work? Let's do it. That's our tier 2 deck.
Third path. Perfect. Third path iconoclast is where I want to start. I like that
card. Yeah, there you go. That's a good card.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We don't have lightning bolt, but we have torch the tower, right?
Torch the tower is good. It exiles and it scries. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a lot of factions.
I feel like the black decks are just going to get better because of the black bat god. It seems really good.
Yeah, that black.
Yeah,
that,
he
that,
seems that, pretty that's good. Pretty
cool. Honestly, a lot of the gods are pretty decent, I feel. Like, I feel like the white one was really good. The green one was really good.
Yeah,
the
triple black tokens.
Yeah, triple tokens. Yeah,
is there a token deck in standard right now? Probably not.
I mean, I've played a couple, but not tier one.
Not like a tier one, yeah.
Top tier. Yeah, I mean, I feel like they have potential but the problem with them is, like, a lot of times there has to be other cards that synergize well with them to make them work. So if they don't have that, then they're not going to be played. Like, blue, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, you have, like, Rebound. Well, you got to have spells that make it worth you to have that, you know? Or, like, yeah, the triple tokens. Like, that's great, but you got to be making tokens somehow for that to be worth it.
Yeah, that was the issue that I found with Mondrak, who's a 4-drop that doubles the tokens. The new god's a 6-drop that triples, which... It costs 2 extra mana. I don't think it can play in standard. Like, it seems really cool, but even Mondrak, I had crazy trouble getting him to work, even with wedding announcements.
Right, yeah. Right. Then there's the 2-mana 8-8? I don't know how much self-mill is standard right now, but...
Dude, 2-mana 8. I love that guy. Dude, we have the Voldaren Thrill Seeker that can... put the backup counter on it and make it sacrifice itself to deal its power to any target. So you can put that underneath a cauldron if you want. Like, there's a great system
The cell sword that can, like, fling it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. There's a couple ways to fling in standard. Like,
flinging's fun, man.
I think, Tyvar, Jubilant Brawler, being able to bring it back from the graveyard is kind of funny. Like, your 3-drop Planeswalker brings back an 8-8.
That seems pretty good, man.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe not good enough for standard, but I'm going to try it during the streamer event for sure.
See what happens.
Yeah. I mean, at least it's a little bit lower powered there, so it's not like true standard. You got people trying stuff out, at least.
Do you find a ton of people try cool stuff out in the streamer event or no? Like, because I've never played, like, the constructed when I'm in the streamer event. I always am just like, all right, I'm going to play, you know, limited because that's what I'm good at. I do.
Yep.
But like, I always feel like if you're playing constructed with the new stuff, like, early like that, it's like, what stops someone from just playing the top tier deck just to, you know, make people mad?
I mean, the only thing is the Wizards people in chat saying no.
Yeah.
Not to do that because they want you to show off new cards. Yeah. So I've seen a couple people that do that. It's not great when you go against them, but it's more fun when you beat them. I, for the most part, at least try and keep my decks about a quarter new cards. So. At least it looks like I'm trying to play a bunch of new stuff. You know, there's some staples from old standard to at least keep the deck together, but there's a lot of stuff from this next stand or from this next set that I'm going to be trying. There's a lot of weird stuff. It's going to be great standard.
I feel like white's going to get a little better too with the 2-mana kill anything. You get some map tokens.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get lost.
Yeah, is that what it's called? Get Lost?
Yeah, that card's pretty good.
Get Lost said Get Lost to Fateful Absence.
Yeah, just Get Lost, man. Get out of here.
It can hit enchantments. Tokens, like,
the map tokens are interesting, for sure.
I think the map tokens are decent. I think people are undervaluing them currently, but I don't think they're as strong as the clue token still. So...
I think it's like a half a card maybe because like if you hit a land it's like drawing a card but if it's a 1/1 counter it's like well okay whatever
yeah Plus, you have to have,
and you gotta have a creature
and sorcery speed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then you're just...
You got some constraints. So probably good against control mages.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they have to hit a land, otherwise they kind of cry. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Corey.
How much equipment is even in standard right now? Because the last few sets haven't had, like, any, right?
Like, just a there's been, like, per set, but there's not been good ones.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, there's all these ones, like, they're adding another new one, and then, like, was it the Eldraine had two cards that deal with equipment, and there was, like, one equipment in the set. There's, like, one equipment in this set. I'm just, like, I still don't think that's, like, a thing, even if you build constructed.
Yeah.
What was the
clause? Turn to Kamigawa had, like, legal? I don't something. Think that's legal anymore. But. There hasn't, because I remember that, like, when we go over, like, when we do our set reviews, like, outside of, like, the, you know, obviously the ones that aren't standard, like Doctor Who and whatnot, like, they haven't really had much for, like, even artifacts in general, not to mention equipment.
Yeah, they've kind of moved away from equipment, it seems like, which,
yeah,
I don't know how to feel about it. I like equipment, personally, but...
Well, yeah, I like the good ones. Bad ones, I hate. Like, everyone loves Sword of Fire and Ice and Batterskull. And
Sword of Forge and Frontier, that one's fun.
Yeah,
I've used that one a little bit. Like, it works pretty well with Pia and Rocco. What's the other one? Once in Future works well with the adventure spells. Like, being able to cast those for free and then just sending them on an exile adventure. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's really not much.
Yeah, when you used to, like, you know, playing Jit or something, and you just demolish people with it, you know.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
Yeah, a little bit weaker than Embercleave.
Yeah, Embercleave was stupid, man. I don't know what they were thinking making that equipment.
That was during my break. Didn't have to worry about getting Embercleave.
I played mono red. I
play against it in Historic, and I'm just like, oh, this is horrible.
On Arena, yeah. I played only that deck, and I, like, crawled all the way to, like, almost Mythic, like, very quickly.
That's surprising.
Yeah, I mean, you can get some quick wins. Like, it, no shade, you can grind with that deck easy.
The new Galta, you think that's just a win more card, right?
It's cool. Like, I love it.
It's cool. Like, oh, I could dump my hand.
Win more,
like,
yeah.
By the time you play an 8-drop.
Yeah, you got to ramp into an 8-drop. And, like, in standard, how much resources do you have to use to do that? How much is going to be left in your hand?
Not much. I mean, there is the one card that, like, throws something from the top into play, right? It's like a battle, I think.
Oh, is that, yeah. God, I forgot about this.
Yeah, I don't remember what it's called, but I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, it's like a battle, I think, that does it. But it's still, like, not great.
Yeah, no. I feel like...
You have to defeat, like, the battle, I think.
Yeah. It's the reward for it, I'm pretty sure, so... Yeah, I feel like Galta's more, like, if it's going to be played, it's probably going to be played more than, like, Commander than anything else. Yeah. Where you actually have the resources to spend on something like that. I feel like standard, that's a lot harder to do.
Yeah. Definitely going to be a lot harder there. What's that one card I'm looking for?
Although the Sentinel of the Nameless City seems awesome.
Is that the 3/4 with Vigilance?
Yeah, when it attacks or ETBs, you get map tokens.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That seems solid.
Like 3/4 Vigilance for 3? That's a solid card.
It's a very solid card. Well, standard. Very much so.
I've been playing a lot of Sentinel of Lost Lore, which is a 3-mana 3/4. It doesn't even have Vigilance. It still lines up really well against a lot of creatures. So it's a really good stat line. Like, it doesn't line up against Shelly, but it lines up against a ton of 2, 3, and 4 drops really well. In the Vigilance, that's nice.
Yeah.
Or on the new guy.
Hmm.
One card that I am really excited about for standard, I mean, I don't know if it's going to be good, I'm going to try, the Myco Tyrant. I want to drop that guy and then Jace minus and mill myself for 15. You know, just make 15 fungus and a 16-16 trampler. It seems fun.
It's a great time. Just hope to God they don't have a board wipe and just destroy you.
You just hope for no cutdowns, hope for no sunfalls. Just leave it alone for a turn, please.
Oh, man.
I mean, we can try and force a blue-green merfolk deck, right?
For sure.
Merfolk tokens.
Yeah, that's a thing now.
Yeah, the enchantment. Yeah, that's really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get 1/1s with hexproof.
Yeah, it's not bad.
There's either 2 or 3 different one-drop merfolks, so you can easily curve one-drop into that attack, have a second dude. Like, that can spiral pretty quick.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, it usually doesn't take a whole lot to snowball with like, kind of aggro-based stuff like that. Like, you don't need much.
Especially when they have hexproof.
Right, yeah. Like, they can't be, like, really dealt with unless they have to global it.
You gotta have a board wipe.
And especially if you're playing a more control type deck, like, yeah, if you're quick, they're not always able to recover from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, sometimes you just gotta run enough creatures into the sunfall and then kill them after they sunfall. Like, that card's gonna help with that, because you tap to attack, you make more dudes that can tap to attack.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just looked up the top meta decks currently, and it's like this Esper Midrange plays like one new card.
Yeah, no,
and that's like the rat guy. Like, everything else is like from Streets of New Capenna or
Esper Legends, I'm guessing. So yeah. There's like 2 Esper decks that see play. There's the Legends that only plays Skitter as the new card, and then Esper Midrange, which is like Wedding Announcements, Virtue of Loyalty, kind of. So they at least play 4 new cards. Lord Skitter as well. Is Lord Skitter plus the Virtue? That's just a gross combo. Like, you got your 3/3 that makes 1/1s, and then you have the enchantment that puts +1/+1 counters on everything. So just those 2 cards can win sometimes. So,
Sure.
Well, and then people are playing Questing Druid in Burn, which is interesting.
I mean, it's a cool card.
I mean, you get the impulse draw, and just for having some dual lands, you can throw down a 1/1 that gets bigger.
Yeah. No, the 1/1 getting bigger, I've gone against it a couple times. I've seen it get to like 8/8, 9/9. It's hard to deal with sometimes. Like, I can't find a go for the throat for the life of me, and I'm just staring down a 9/9 druid just.
Keep that away. If you don't kill it in like, you know, 2 or 3 turns, you're kind of hosed.
You got to find an actual kill spell instead of just chumping.
Exactly.
It's a big dude sometimes. The one downside that I've had is the impulse draw. You have to time it right, and that's really hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because you only get the cards for one turn.
Yeah, it's really. It's something that you really have to, like, you know, learn how to play with, for sure.
Yeah. It's just you got to know your deck very well. You got to know what you can hit, what you can afford to play.
Right. Or just always end stepping on their turn. It's an instant, right?
Yeah. It is an instant, so it does make it easier.
Yeah, for sure. Oh,
this is kind of funny. They have the mono blue tempo is up there, and the picture for it is Delver. None of the decks have Delver in it in the top last, like, 5 weeks.
Delver is not played in mono blue. It's usually just, like, Hadijin and Talarian Terror. Like, some of them will play the new Picklock Prankster, the 1/4 Vigilance, which is really annoying. I hate that card. I can never seem to, like, attack through it.
Yeah, it's got good butt on that.
Mm-hmm. Like, poor Mosswood Dread Knights.
Like, once you get big butts above, like, you know, 3, that's when they get hard to deal with. So
that's why Shelly's such an issue. Just
4 mana, 4/5, death touch, and more effects.
That's just like, why? Yeah,
it's like this standard Siege Rhino.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty much. May as well.
Siege Rhino, Thrag Tusk was the other one before Siege Rhino that was played all the time.
Thrag Tusk was really good back in the day.
I love Thrag Tusk. I remember watching like old modern streams and seeing that guy play. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. Old school modern. Back when I almost got into it.
It's expensive.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
I mean, all the formats are, but...
Yeah.
The only difference with... I guess now it's 3 years for standard before it rotates, but I was like, the difference with modern and legacies, at least when you, once you're in it, your deck pretty much doesn't change.
Yeah, you're usually only when they
print really broken
stuff. Yeah, when they print something really broken, you have to get like one guard. Like,
like Treasure Cruise, remember that shit? Yeah, let's basically make a freaking, you know, recall. Sounds great.
Yeah, you just get your ancestral recall. I remember as a kid pulling a couple foil of those ones. I wonder if I still have them in a box somewhere.
Yeah,
I opened a lot of cons. Yeah. It was a fun set.
That card was that and Dig Through Time was the other one. Like those.
Nope. I opened a lot of cons too because that's when they finally had reprinted the fetches, and I was like, I need those. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Remember back in the day when we got all the BFZ because we were trying to get the goddamn Expo lands, and there's not a goddamn card outside of those Expo lands worth a damn.
Yeah, only going for those lands. Yep.
So much BFZ.
Me and my roommate between BFZ and Oath opened like 16 booster boxes, and we opened like 2 expeditions, maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we could have just bought the expeditions we wanted for less.
That's fun.
Yeah, I think God of the Shrine was the best one we opened.
Yeah, which is like it's pretty solid. But like it wasn't like one of the, it was like, you know, fucking what I forget what some of them were. Like Misty, was that one? Like that was crazy.
Yeah, they had
those fetches and all. They had some good stuff.
But some of them were really expensive. Oh yeah, that's right. Street Mine was in there. I forgot about that. I know Ancient Tomb was in there. That was a cool one too. That I kind of wanted, even though I literally never played that card.
Now it's a trade for him.
I mean, yeah. Like at this point, you may as well. I have so much cards that just lay around that I don't even really touch anywhere, just because of that. Outside of like the stuff I play, that's the joys of opening, you know, boxes, and then you just have all this stuff that just kind of sits. And you're just like,
it's also what happens when you draft a lot. You just like, oh, that I have too. All this.
Yeah.
You just pick up so many commons. Yep.
Yeah.
You got your entire LGS box like that big by that big, full of them. Yep.
Yep.
I mean, most of the cards I have like just sitting here on my desk are like old draft decks. They just sit here.
Yeah. Yeah, I have Eldraine right here from one that I drafted, just sitting on my desk.
Nice.
Nope, I had the Goose Mother.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good one. I remember losing to that during the pre-release.
Yeah, the Goose is insane. It's like the new Hydroid Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think blue-green is that good in standard right now, is it?
Nah.
Not really.
Blue-green's really only for like cauldron combos.
You could play it in Sultai, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Soul Tide's fun.
I don't think
at least you have counter spells there, so yeah. I haven't played it in any of my Soul Tide builds.
Interesting. I don't know. I might want to build a deck here on Arena and play it and see what happens.
what are you thinking about putting together here?
I want to do something with the Goose Mother now. You got to do something.
I mean, yeah, you can do some Simic ramp.
Yeah, there we go.
I forget. I mean,
Topiary Stomper, Invasion of Zendikar is always a good place to start.
Yep.
For sure.
Although I guess that's kind of the domain deck too, right?
Yeah.
It's
hard to beat that. Like your deck just kind of morphs into that eventually.
Yeah. Like, and we're sliding into tier one. Mm-hmm.
Yep. While I'm playing all these cards, might as well just fetch out my Triome so I can play Leyline Binding.
Well, I guess we'll just play a top tier deck then and join the crowd.
I guess we'll just put a Goose Mother in five color.
Yeah. That sounds like Corey. Corey loves playing his five color.
I do that in drafts a lot too, which is a lot of people are like, don't do it. I'm like, you know what? I'll play all basics. I don't care.
That's so much fun to play five colors. Like,
yeah,
it can be. Yeah,
I got second place in a chaos draft, just drafting the best card in every pack, and then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna play it. And it was like I was playing like maybe two of each land. Like, okay, it was like I have all basics. Mm-hmm. So it worked.
You drew the natural Tron. Nice.
Because it was like I had like Lightning Bolt and like swords. Like I just took, because it was like a chaos draft, right? So I just took all the Bonkers cards, even though they're five colors. And I'm like, well, I just had to look at my opening hand. Can I play the stuff in my hand?
Can I play at least two of these cards?
Yeah.
If so, yep, keep. We'll find some lands eventually.
Right.
Yeah, we'll get there when we get there. Well, what was the set last year? I can't remember which set it was, but like, it had so many like multicolor lands in it that you could basically play three or more and be fine in draft.
Oh, Dominaria.
Yeah, it was New Dominaria. Yeah. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dominaria five color was like one of the best draft types because like you could literally just play over three colors and it didn't matter.
Because they
as
had
long like, as you drafted the, as long as you heavily drafted fixing.
Because there was so many cards not in that set. Like there was, you could play almost anything you wanted to, which is
that sounds pretty fun.
Unusual.
Like,
for...
Yeah, I think I literally had like a 60 or 70% win rate in that set just by literally drafting like just the bomb rares and then fixing only, and then like just putting whatever else I ended up with.
Hey, as long as you can cast those crazy bombs,
yeah.
You need.
That's half the battle, but like yeah, when you have lands like that, you're pretty good. Like the chances of you getting screwed is a lot lower. Whereas, yeah, when you only have basics, it's just like, well, that's when it gets a little more interesting.
But that's when it's fun to do it because then nobody's doing it and they're like, huh? Just lost a five color?
Wait, you played one of every basic? What are you doing? Is that winning?
Yeah, exactly. First five turns, I played one of every basic. I'm set.
Dude, I had somebody do that to me at the last pre-release, or the last pre-release I was at. I was like, how do you do that? How do you just draw like a natural five-color Tron?
And
with all basics. What?
No fetch lands, no nothing. Just I got them all. It's like Voltron, but the worst way possible.
The really bad limited Voltron.
Oh. Oh, man. So, I don't know if I asked, how long have you been playing Magic?
Okay, so I started playing... It was OG Innistrad, I remember. I was in, like, 8th grade. OG Innistrad was when I first got introduced. My friend got me like a intro deck. Then I started playing a bit more in high school. Return to Ravnica, I think Gate Crash was my first pre-release, and that's like when I dove into the game. So been playing for a little while, been taking some breaks here and there, but
yeah,
been mostly in with the game still.
Yeah, I would say Return to Ravnica was probably when Corey and I were actually the deepest into Standard. We were going to FNM like every week. Yeah. I had a pretty decent Exalted deck that I ran. I can't remember what you were running, Corey, but
I think I was just playing Control, like with Sphinx Rev.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's Elixir of Immortality, Sphinx's Rift.
Yeah, and I had Supreme Verdict. I think I had Black too, so I think it was Esper because I was playing Pack Rack because the card is nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We'll splash Black for Pack Rat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Good. Yeah, that was a fun like block.
That's what I ended up with like one of each of those in a pro tour qualifier when in a limited one, and I literally got ninth place, and I was like, great.
Yeah, the top eight
got invited into the pro tour, and it was literally like we were on game three, and he was at one life, so I was winning on my next turn, and I was at like 10, and he top deck. He has no cards in hand. He top decks Rakdos Return to kill me for exacts, and I was like, are you serious?
Oh, that is.
I'm like, that's just brutal.
That feels bad.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'm taking ninth.
Well, I guess I'll lose, and I don't go on the PTQ. Going to the PTQ.
That is an unfortunate Heart of the Cards moment.
Yeah. Yeah, good times. But yeah, Corey and I have been playing since 7th edition about. So yeah, we're
nice.
We're Magic veterans.
Got a couple years in. Couple years on me.
There's people that have been playing since 93. So.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. We're not
that. It's been out for like, a while.
I was like 3 in 93, so I was not playing back then.
Came out before I was born.
Yeah. I was barely born. But and yeah, Corey's even younger than the.
What, one-ish year younger
than me. Yeah. our one friend who kind of was the one who got us both into it. So. But yeah, for me, I've had my breaks here and there. Like I took a break right after the original Kamigawa. Like I didn't, and then I kind of took a long one, and I kind of came back like during like Lorwyn, like that's when the Planeswalkers were introduced, and then I kind of stopped again. But then I really like when I really made my return with Zendikar, and that was a really really fun set. Like I will say, Zendikar is probably still my favorite set.
It's a great plane.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I did really like the Zendikar Rising they did too. It was really good. I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Just,
that was
just flavor wise because I was like, oh, it's so fun to play with Landfall again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it definitely wasn't as good as the original Zendikar, but like, yeah, it was still fun to play with, like, you know, with those mechanics again.
Yeah, the Zendikar mechanics are just on average pretty fun. So I always have fun playing with Zendikar cards.
Yeah, that's the one that I don't complain about. Whereas like. Like Ravnica, I liked Ravnica, but it's like now we've gone there like 4 times. I'm like, okay,
can you go somewhere
other than Ravnica? Like Innistrad's been like 3 times now or something. I'm like,
Innistrad was cool too. Sure, I love werewolves just as much as
I know. I like werewolves and vampires too, but it's like, okay, werewolves and vampires. Again.
Like, do we need to go here like 4 times? Like,
Ixalan, I didn't play during the first Ixalan. That was kind of when I was on break a little bit.
Yeah, I was on break for Ixalan too, so this will be, I am excited to actually play some Ixalan for sure.
So this will be kind of
my
cool.
First, and then, like, actual Ixalan experience.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it should be a good time, for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm definitely looking forward. I will say Throne was really fun for pre-release. That was one of my favorite pre-releases, like, ever, honestly. And that was actually my first pre-release I did in, like, a while. Like, I can't remember, like, a good few sets before that. But, yeah, Throne was really fun, and Wilds was also really cool, too. So, I don't know. The last few sets have been pretty fun, I will say.
Yeah, and I definitely had fun during my last Wilds Meldrain pre-release.
Yeah, the pre-releases are a blast. That's pretty much every time they're a blast.
Oh yeah, they're always fun.
Just because nobody
local store.
Majority of the people don't know the cards yet either, because a lot of people just are like, I'm not going to read spoilers. I'm just going to go and play.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, we read them because we do a show, but like otherwise, like.
Plus, I'm super competitive. I'm like, I need to know every card as soon as it's possible.
I gotta figure out my Thursday.
I'm in the early access.
Have that mental thing. Knowledge.
Yeah, I'm in the early
access. Have that edge on your opponents.
I need to know what I can draft, you know.
Well, he's the limited player too, so he's like, oh, I gotta figure out what all the archetypes are before I draft them.
Yeah. Oh, what are these weird combos that I can try? You know?
Dude, Veldrain had some weird combos in draft, like
three
blind mice with Yenna.
Oh,
that would have been fun.
I tried to draft that so many times, but I never got both. But I was like, literally three blind mice Yenna, you just get infinite mice.
Just win. Like, okay, next game.
Also, I did do one that was hilarious, and I got it to go once. Is like Yenna doubling season?
Oh no.
And then I played like just all token makers in the deck. like the couple that even exists. It was just hilarious. I was like, this is like the jankiest deck ever, but I got it to work at least one game. So I was like, this is cool. Hey, it's what matters.
Dude, doubling season and draft. That sounds like the dream. I love that.
Yeah, as long as it has fuel. Otherwise, it doesn't do much.
Yeah, like, there's not. Yeah. There's not support for it. Five mana enchantment. This is why it's hilarious.
You gotta feed it somehow, but.
Like my support for it was Yena, where I'm just, whatever I copy is going to get two copies.
Now that's some value.
Yeah, if you find good shit to copy, then yeah, you're set. It doesn't matter then. good times indeed. So, Corey, how much of the new set have you, how much of Wilds did you play before the new set is coming out here?
Oh, I played, I don't know. You get a report at the end of the month or something, but a lot. Like, I played Wild so much, it was, like, ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Like, I'm sick of it already. Like, I'm ready for the next one. So, that's why I play it until I'm sick of it, you know? And you then, the... like, now the cube is coming out on the 10th, the Chromatic Cube. I'm pumped for that.
I love Chromatic Cube. It's so much fun.
It's just, like, play big things on Arena, which is what I love to do, is play big things.
It's always a good time. And then the early access for Exelon is Thursday.
It
will be very interesting to see how that shakes up.
I'm super excited. It's going to be fun.
Definitely. And then the pre-release is that weekend. So,
it's
coming up quick. This will probably be up by then. So, but yeah, the set should be out already. So,
yeah, by the time this podcast airs.
Once we, bother printing it up.
Eventually.
Next week sometime.
But, I guess thanks for being on and everything. It was cool talking.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah.
Where can people reach you? You want to plug your socials and stuff?
So, really just YouTube at CBDMTG. And, that's it.
No Twitter or anything?
I have the at on Twitter. I just haven't used it. So
You mean X? I mean,
if you want to go follow, I'll go
comment on one of his videos. Go comment on one of his videos on YouTube. That's how you reach him.
I try and respond to all my comments. So
I mean, YouTube comments can be a little messy sometimes, but
they really can. Yeah, I thankfully have a pretty nice community so far, so I haven't had too many terrible comments, but there have been some. Yeah,
it happens, but that's good to hear. It was great getting to know you a little bit, definitely looking forward to this new set here.
And if anyone wants to pick up any of the cards we talked about, we have a TCG player affiliate link in the show notes. Just click that and help support the podcast.
Yeah. And also, if you are, we have a new affiliate as well. If you are wanting miniatures of any kind, we also have an affiliate link for that. That literally was just last week, I think we got that one. So,
miniature mark. Also
be down below.
Yep.
Nice.
You can also buy sealed Magic product there, just not singles.
Fair enough.
So see everyone next time.
Till next time.